Welcome to the UFC, Ultimate Faithful Catholics. We are spiritual fitness trainers. I am the Latin lover of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Latin lover of our Lady.
And Terry. I'm the Terry Barber, the Lebanese lover of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Lebanese lover of our Lady. Jess, you always fire me up when we start off like this, because, you know, I really do see this as a spiritual exercise, but also it's a spiritual warfare exercise. Every time we call on the name of Jesus Christ, fires me up, because I know that it's such an honor to speak in his name and to share the good news that's been given to us. I mean, I just can't say enough about that. But Jess, today's program is one very special, and I'll tell you why. You've got the background as a cop. For those who don't know, Jess has been a sheriff department cop in L.A. for over 20-some years. And one of our topics is the L.A.'s arms race of the affluent. In other words, people in Beverly Hills are getting shotguns. What are they doing? Because people are just smashing and grabbing things and thinking that they can get away with it, because in California, they can, up to $1,000 worth of stuff and not have any issue. Also, talking about war on crime, it must begin with recalling and removing every last Soros district attorney. George Soros was very influential, especially here in L.A. You'll hear about our district attorney. He's just been a mess. And we'll talk about the crime. I'm living in it right now, and I see it. But my favorite topic, Jesse, is going to be the power versus authority in the Catholic Church. Convert to the Catholic faith, friend of the shows, has a great article. And I think it's going to help us understand the limitations of the Vicar of Christ, bishops, priests, what they can and can't do, and make that distinction between the power they have and, most importantly, the authority that comes from Christ. Also, Jesse, I have a beautiful story. The U.S. judge blocks the Pentagon from punishing Navy SEALs who refuse to take COVID-19. 3 minutes before the show, I was on the phone with a Navy SEAL calling me back, saying, yeah, we're excited about it, we're pushing back, and we want our religious freedom. So I want to say praise God for that. Also, Jesse, good news stories. Fishing for abortion stories. A news outlet at the end of the year asked for them, and they were inundated with hundreds of people saying, yeah, I was going to abort my baby, and then this was what happened. And then my that baby that I kept is now giving me grandchildren, or, you know, just beautiful testimonies of people for life. So this is an inspirational story that I want to share later in the show. But before we do all of that, yeah, Jess, let's get some soul food in us, please.
Yeah, let me just share one more thing on the absolutely good news. On the good
news, I love good news.
Just to add that.
Yeah.
On the good news file, you mm-hmm. got Senator Tom Cotton.
Yeah.
One of the young stalwarts
Yeah.
He says that the war on crime
yeah.
must begin with recalling and removing every last Soros district attorney. What happened is George Soros, he funded the campaign
yep.
of all these leftist district attorneys in blue states and blue cities
right.
that have positions of influence and power. This is the whole reason why we have this defund the police, don't prosecute people that are part of Black Lives Matter and Antifa. It comes from the Soros-appointed district attorneys, or Soros-funded. So Tom Cotton, the senator, he's on this, and he wants to do something about it, so I just want to give him props.
And you know what, Jesse? You can explain later in the show what a district attorney has the power to do when someone commits a crime. What is his position? What can he do and what he can't do? Because when people find out that this is a critical position for all cities to have district attorney who's hard on crime, because if he's soft on crime, all these bad guys get out and they continue to do more crime. And that's why we're going to talk about that. But let's get some soul food in us, Jess.
Mark chapter 6, verse 34, mm-hmm. today's gospel. When Jesus saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity. The word pity also is in Hebrew, it's mercy or mm-hmm. love. For they were like sheep without a shepherd. Wow, kind of feels like Catholics
you
right
think?
Now, sheep without a shepherd. And he, Jesus, began to teach them many things. By the way, that's exactly what the bishops are supposed to do, teach, govern, and sanctify.
Amen.
Not talk about medical issues, not talk about planetary issues, to teach us how to get to heaven.
Yep.
It says, by now, it was already late, and his disciples approached him and said, this is a deserted place, and it is already very late. Dismiss them so that they can go to the surrounding farms and villages and buy themselves something to eat. He, our Lord, said to them in reply, give them some food yourselves. But they said to him, are we to buy 200 days wages worth of food and give it to them to eat? He asked them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's not a coincidence that it's the number 7. That's the number of the covenant. So he gave orders to have them sit down in groups on the green grass. The people took their places in rows by hundreds and by fifties. Notice the way there's order even to the way Jesus Christ has people sit. They're not out of order. It doesn't look like some type of Woodstock concert. There's order even in the way the people sit to listen to Jesus. Oh, kind of like a Catholic mass. Yep. Interesting. It says, then taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before all the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the 12 wicker baskets. 12, interesting. This represents the old covenant people and the new covenant people. All of us are part of this, the people of God in the New Testament. It says they picked up the 12 wicker baskets full of fragments, and what was left of them, those who ate of the loaves were 5,000 men, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's interesting that this is not the Eucharist at this point. This is just a multiplication of bread. But people know so much so as to go even pick up the fragments. Mm-hmm. In a lot of parishes, Terry, we have the real presence of Jesus Christ being disseminated in crumbs all over the floor.
I've seen it.
And people don't treat it like the Jews treat it, right? Regular bread.
Yeah.
Another thing we could talk about, and the miracle of the loaves, mm-hmm. It looks both to the past and the future. What do I mean? This story in the gospel, it reminds us of the miraculous feeding in the Old Testament, the manna that rained from heaven upon the Israelites in Exodus chapter 16. But it also points to the future reality of the Last Supper, where the Holy Eucharist will be instituted, basically using the same words, taking, blessing, breaking, giving. Also, why did in verse 41 it says that our Lord gave them to the disciples? Okay, some people will say, well, I guess that's why I'm an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, because the disciples were. No, they're not. The disciples are priests. They're not extraordinary ministers. They're the ordinary ministers of Holy Communion, like a bishop and a priest. They're not lay people. They're going to be instituted as priests at the Last Supper. They're going to be instituted in actually as New Covenant priests. And this is where we get the New Covenant priesthood for us as Catholics in the New Testament. And this is why God's people, God has provided us with an orderly way to dispense the Holy Eucharist. And I've seen nothing but disorder, Terry, with the failed experiment of these these special indults that have allowed lay people to act like priests.
Been a disaster, let's be honest.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
All right, hey, Jess, before I bring Bishop Sheen in, I want to pray this prayer to St. Joseph, terror of demons. Father Don Calloway got it for us. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. St. Joseph, terror of demons, cast your solemn gaze upon the devil and all his minions. Protect us with your mighty staff. You fled through the night to avoid the devil's wicked designs. Now, with the power of God, smite the devils as they flee from you. Grant special protection, we pray, for children, fathers, families, and the dying. By God's grace, no demon dares to approach while you are near. So we beg of you, always be near to us. Amen. That prayer is a beautiful image of St. Joseph that you can get from the Marian Helpers with Father Don Calloway.
It's in his book also.
It's in his book. Yeah, yep. It's a great prayer. Okay, yep. Let's bring in Bishop Sheen. Full steam ahead. Jess, we got a couple minutes on this. This is Pope Pius XII. Yeah, I wish it had a saint, but I can see why he doesn't have a saint, because he said some very unpopular things.
Especially against communists.
Exactly. Here's a quote. He says, I am worried by the Blessed Virgin's message to Lucy of Fatima. This persistence of Mary about the dangers which menace the church is a divine warning against the suicide of altering the faith. 70 years ago he said that. In her liturgy, in her theology, and her soul, here all around me. Innovators, who wish to dismantle the sacred chapel, destroy the universal flame of the true faith of the church, reject her ornaments, and make her feel remorse for her historic past. Jesse, that was 70 years ago, and it seems like he's describing the modernists of today.
And he also, to be very specific, and I say this with all due respect, he's describing the Francis papacy.
It's true.
Those around him, those who he's elevated here in the U.S. and over in the Roman Curia, it sounds like...
They reject the true faith.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, absolutely. Terry, one thing, here's a bit of a good news.
Hit me.
Is that
more good news.
The cable news channels have declined ever since Trump Trump's no longer in the White House. There's a massive drop-off in cable news viewership. Yep.
I love it.
CNN has lost 38% of their primetime viewers.
Oh,
Fox has lost 34% of their primetime viewers. MSNBC has lost 25% of their mainstream viewers.
You know where they're going, don't you, Jess?
I think a lot of them are going to Newsmax, Terry.
Exactly. They're getting their meal. Yep.
And also... Church Militant, even News is getting some as well.
Absolutely. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about the LA's arm race of the affluent. Not only that, everyone else is trying to protect themselves from this chaos that's going on. Stay with us, family. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
UFC Catholicism, Ultimate Faithful Catholics. Ah, you thought I was going to say Ultimate Fighting Champions.
No.
Right? Ah, fooled you. I hope all those guys from the UFC, before they die, they come to Christ and come into the Catholic Church.
Because
they have a lot of testosterone, but they need to work on the faith component.
Yeah, the direction.
That's right. The LA arms race of the affluent. So what's happening? From Beverly Hills to Santa Monica, the crime-panicked wealthy are banishing bling-bling and buying guns. In other words, in Beverly Hills, even the purchase of a firearm comes with certain expectations. The city's only gun store, Beverly Hills Guns, is a concierge service by appointment only for a largely affluent clientele. And business is booming. Yep. Since opening in July 2020, the store has seen upscale residents from Santa Monica to the Hollywood Hills. Interestingly, in a panic following the several high-profile smash-and-grab violent home invasion robberies, the apparent siege has brought in a daily stream of anxious business owners and prominent actors, real estate moguls, and film executives. Most of them are arming themselves for the first time. In fact, the gun store owner says, "This morning I sold 6 shotguns in an hour to people that say, I want a home defense shotgun."
That's the best one to have.
Yeah. Stewart, whose store is discreetly located in a Beverly Hills office building with no sign on the doors, down the hall from a diamond dealer, he says, quote, "Everyone has a general sense of constant fear, which is very sad. We're used to this being like Mayberry." For those of you that don't know what he's talking about,
that's the old...
Mayberry was this fictional community setting where they filmed the sitcoms like the Andy Griffin Show, and the Mayberry show as well back in 1986. So the fear has the wealthiest of local citizens contemplating even more elaborate security measures, armored luxury cars, safe rooms, and bulletproof glass in their homes. One client even asked about creating the Tony Stark level Iron Man security of a half dozen automated drones to hover over his house. But Stewart, the gun store owner, he's part of this larger security company called Force Protective Agency. He's probably making money hand over
fist. Oh, big time.
Yeah. So the security business is experiencing a rebound after a couple of years of diminished fears because of the pandemic. Some firms had their on-site security guards sent home for health and social distancing reasons. Not anymore. In Beverly Hills, The craving for additional security dates to the riots that followed on the otherwise peaceful Black Lives Matter protests in May 2020. Yeah, right, peaceful. With unprecedented looting along Rodeo Drive that left broken boutique windows beneath beloved luxury brands, Chanel, Dior, Gucci, Michael Kors, MCM, Emerdello, Zegna. In fact, last March, a $500,000 Richard Mille watch was stolen at gunpoint from a diner at the second Pastio restaurant in Beverly Hills. Also, the December 1st home invasion robbery and shooting death of philanthropist Jacqueline Avant, 81 years old, in her Trousdale Estates home, only accelerated the arms race amongst the rich and famous. Beverly Hills definitely has been a prime target, says security expert David Perez, CEO of Omega International Group and former Marine. It also says the article, with more than 2,000 cameras already deployed along the city, Beverly Hills has also hired two private security firms to patrol neighborhoods alongside police. Todd Johnson, president and CEO of the Beverly Hills Chamber of Commerce, says whatever the police have needed, fortunately, we're a city that can write a check and get it.
Yep.
The city and its population are fully aware that they've become an inviting target for these anarchists. Terry, this is even the rich and famous, Terry, realize that they need to arm themselves.
And Jesse, I understand with your background in the police force, two things I'm going to ask. One, the background where cops on the beat stop crime just by their presence. That's just a fact from what I understand. So I want to have you talk about that. And also the issue of the morality of proportionate measures to protect your family. We're not all living in Beverly Hills, but we all have homes and we all have crime committed going in our communities. Everywhere in the LA County, murder is up 35%. I mean, there's just, there's all kinds of crime taking place. So what would be people asking, what's my position as a committed Christian? Do I have a moral obligation to defend my family and even use proportionate measures, even a firearm, to protect you, protect mom, protect the kids? The answer is yes. But Jesse, why don't you give us the background on that, since you've already dealt with that as a policeman, using proportionate measures to stop an aggressor.
Yeah, Terry, just to show you that the other side, the anarchists, they don't play by the rules.
No, of course not.
So they're not going to, you know, buy guns and register them and follow all the proper protocols put out by state law. In fact, in Washington State, this is how crazy it is. This is why I'm glad that Beverly Hills is doing this. In Washington State, the Democrats are pushing to reduce sentences for drive-by shooters in the name of racial equality. So basically, I'm just going to say it. If you're black in Washington State and you commit a drive-by, well, they want to make it from a felony to a misdemeanor. Why, Terry? Because political correctness has entered into law enforcement. This is why we got to get rid of these George Soros appointed district attorneys. Because what's a district attorney? I'll give you one definition. They're the top cop of the county.
That's basically it.
I said it all.
Okay.
They're the top.
They make the decisions.
The buck stops with them.
Yeah.
Now, let me go to the Catholic point of view, because we're going to get into here with lefties, Catholic lefties. Oh, boy, when I talk about this, do I get slammed with email?
You mean you have a gun?
Yeah. So, guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Man.
Why do I say that? Well, when God responded to Cain's murder of his brother Abel, God didn't ban rocks or clubs, whatever blunt instrument Cain used to kill Abel. What God did was banish Cain, the murderer. And so, again, that rock or that club could not have killed Abel without the evil in the heart of Cain. So God doesn't banish rocks or clubs. And the point is clear, because every Catholic man has a duty and a positive obligation to defend his family, even to the point of deadly force if necessary.
That's
Catholic teaching.
Yep.
Where? Paragraph 2263 to 2265. I'm not going to read it. It's too long. I'm going to give it to you. 2263 to 2265, lays out the doctrine of self-defense.
Yep.
In fact, St. Paul says in 1 Timothy 5:8, he says, if anyone does not provide for his own relatives, and especially for his own family, he has disowned the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Well, 1 Timothy 5:8, this also covers the duties of a man who's called to protect and provide for his family spiritually and physically. Now, we're not saying here, let's not confuse vengeance with resisting and thwarting an attack of an unjust aggressor. Okay? There's two different things. Resisting and thwarting an attack of an unjust aggressor like a Richard Ramirez that comes into your house at night, that's not to be confused with taking vengeance, which is exclusively the domain of God. Vengeance is mine, Romans 12:19.
Yep.
But some people will say, well, Jess, but the Lord is against arming yourself. God is against arming yourself. And here's what people will generally say. They'll quote John chapter 18, verse 10 and 11. That's where Lord Jesus Christ quotes, orders Peter to put his sword into his sheath. But here's the point that I'm going to make. Our Lord did not tell Peter to put his sword into its sheath forever. Why? Because that would have contradicted what he told his disciples only a couple of hours before. In Luke 22:36, our Lord says, and let him who has no sword sell his mantle and buy one. Interesting. Our Lord tells the apostles to buy a sword. Well, what's the theology of a sword? Romans 13:4. The Bible tells us very clearly that swords are not simply decoration that's worn by the Knights of Columbus. No. What are swords? Romans 13:4. It says, he is God's servant for your good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is a servant of God to execute his wrath on the wrongdoer, Romans 13:4. In other words, St. Paul says the sword can be used and should be used against the wrongdoer. Now, some people may say, well, Jess, that's the God of the Old Testament, not the God of the New Testament. Wrong again. Malachi 3:6, the Bible says, for I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. Malachi 3:6.
Yep.
And for those that are, I mean, really, you can't own a gun if you're a Catholic? Really? Guess what? The Catholic Church even has a patron saint of shooters.
That's right.
His name's Saint Gabriel Pacenti. Pray for us. Terry, what's the problem here?
Yeah.
The problem is with anarchists.
Yes.
It's with evil people.
That's right.
Why? Because these anarchists, like in BLM, Antifa, and Occupy Wall Street, they're simply opportunists who follow their own disordered passions because what's in their heart is evil. And Jesus warned us about what's evil is not what you put in your mouth, it's what's in your heart. Jeremiah the prophet warned us about this, the evil heart in certain people. Jeremiah 17:9, he says, the heart of man is desperately wicked and desperately corrupted. Who can understand it? The fact is, Terry, we need a heart transplant. We don't need to banish guns.
Well said. And Jesse, I can guarantee you, the bad guys all want gun control. You know why? They only want the bad guys to have the guns. And every country that's turned in their firearms, we can regret it. Look at Australia, other parts of the world. This is something that I believe as a family man, we all need to protect our family. And if you don't have a firearm to stop the aggressor, well, then it's not a very even fight, is it? Because you need to stop them.
And Terry, I'll tell you, just ask any Native American, and they'll tell you, it was the inferior technology and the lack of weapons, the lack of arms that contributed to their demise. Just ask any Armenian why you guys got slaughtered by the tens of millions by the Muslims. Mm-hmm. They'll tell you we were disarmed before the Muslims came in.
Well said. When we come back, Jess, we're going to talk about your friend Tom Cotton. I don't know him personally, but I've read him for years. The war on crime must begin with recalling and removing every last Soros district attorney. Why? When we come back, we'll tell you why that's important. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Senator Tom Cotton, he's a Republican from Arkansas, says the nation's war on crime must begin with recalling, removing, and replacing every last district attorney with ties to the left-wing billionaire George Soros. Hear, hear.
Yes.
Cotton wrote an op-ed piece for Real Clear Politics, and it's no coincidence that the largest increase in murder in American history and the largest number of drug overdose deaths were ever recorded has coincided with cities electing radical left-wing George Soros progressives to district attorney offices. Again, the DA is the top cop of the city. L.A. District Attorney George Gascon, who has refused to prosecute a number of crimes, won his race with money from Soros, as did incoming Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, who has vowed not to prosecute trespassing, prostitution, and resisting arrest.
Is that unbelievable, Jesse? Repeat those crimes and say, who in the world listening right now would want a gentleman to be a district attorney not to prosecute those crimes? I don't get it. That's where we're at, though, right now. That's how bad it is.
Senator Cotton wrote, these legal arsonists condemn our rule of law as a systematically racist and have not simply abused prosecutorial discretion. They have embraced prosecutorial nullification, which means we're not going to prosecute criminals because we got the power.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it? As a result, a contagion of crime has infected virtually every neighborhood under their charge, I would argue, in blue states and blue cities.
Yep.
Soros prosecutors refuse to enforce laws against shoplifting,
drug trafficking,
and entire categories of felonies and misdemeanors. Go ahead, Terry, pick it up from there.
What's so brutal about this? You're the cop. Can you imagine somebody stealing right now? Like the County Cook State's attorney, Kim Fox, allows theft under $1,000 to go unpunished. Wait a minute. I go to the Walmart, I go and buy my food this afternoon, and the next guy comes in and steals it, and he gets $1,000 for nothing.
As long as it's under $1,000. It's got to be under
$1,000. Under $1,000? Okay, is this microphone on? Are you kidding me? This is California. It's the land of crazies, okay? The district attorney, Vance Jr., refused to enforce laws against prostitution. Well, wait a minute. We got prostitution going on, and we're not going to stop that?
Yeah, that's in Manhattan.
In Manhattan, but it's still Southern California. Jesse, yeah. I went into L.A. just a couple months ago during the summer, and I saw, I can't even respond on the radio what I saw of prostitution, drugs, people jumping on my car. They just rip their clothes off, jump on my car, and do a little dance. And these are people on drugs, and I'm going, what is going on here? I would never want to go back into L.A. because of what I saw. It's that bad. And when I talked to police, Jesse, the cops that came to our 29th of September St. Michael Mass, they worked that beat for the last 10 years. He said it's a zoo, and they don't want us to do anything other than just be there but not prosecute anybody, let them do whatever they want to do. This is the situation we're in, and the district attorneys are allowing this, and that's what has to stop.
That's right. In Baltimore,
yeah,
the state's attorney, Terry and me were in Baltimore protesting at the Bishop's Conference.
Yeah.
I'm sure we made a lot of friends at high
places. Oh, big time. They love us.
Yeah. In Baltimore, state's attorney Marilyn Mosby has unilaterally declared the war on drugs over and is refusing to criminally charge drug dealers in the middle of the worst drug crisis in American history.
Yeah.
And for a time, L.A. District Attorney George Gascon even stopped enforcing laws against disturbing the peace, resisting arrest, and making criminal threats. Terry, this lawlessness and anarchy, this is a sign of the diabolical, according to Fulton Sheen.
And you know what else it is? It's the fall of a culture, Jesse, an order. The fall of Rome had something very similar to that with the order, that there was no order. And right now, if we continue to go in this direction, That's what's going to happen to our culture. We're going to fall apart because there's no order and no right or wrong. It's just whatever feels good. And that's where we're going right now, unless we can stop this.
All these cities have paid a terrible price for their for these insane policies. Mm-hmm. In fact, last year, the number of homicides in Chicago rose by 56%. And more than 1,000 Cook County residents have been murdered in 2021. In New York City, murder increased 47% and shootings soared 97%. In 2020, the murder rate in Baltimore was higher than El Salvador or Guatemala. These are nations from which citizens often attempt to claim asylum purely based on gang violence and murder. And this year in Baltimore is on track to be even higher. Murder in L.A. rose 36% last year and is on track to rise another 17% this year. In fact, the police union has told people that don't live in California, don't come to California. We can't protect you. Senator Cotton also took aim at the House and Senate Republicans who helped former President Trump pass the Pro-Criminal First Step Act. The law, Cotton says, has helped provide early release to some child predators, carjackers, gang members, and bank robbers, along with those who helped other inmates break out of prison. Only a handful of Republicans joined Cotton in opposing the First Step Act. In one case, the leader of the Almighty Latin Kings gang was arrested for murder less than a year after being released from federal prison, thanks to the First Step Act. So that's a law that Trump passed that should be repealed.
Let me make this real practical. Think about this. I live in Covina here, right outside our church. 4 months ago, young lady walking her dog. She's in her 20s. A Hispanic gangbanger pulls a gun out and says, "Give me your money. Give me everything you got." She gives everything she has. The guy runs off. We hear a scream. We come out. The police come and they catch the guy. We find out, Jesse, lo and behold, he got out because there was not enough room in the jails. They let him out, not because of merit, but because, hey, we just need to get him back out. Now, if that was your daughter, my listener, if that was my daughter and that happened, guess what? I talked to the father. You know what the father said? "I'm out of here. This is not a safe place anymore. I'm leaving the state." And people are doing that right now, Jesse. They're saying, look, if there's no order here, I can't even walk my dog at 10 o'clock in the morning without being accosted by some guy with a gun.
Terry, I get phone calls every day of people leaving California and New York. And in fact, we were about to hire somebody there at the studio, mm-hmm. and that's not going to work out because he wants to get him and his family out.
Exactly. Terry, hard to keep many people here because the crime is so high, Jesse. Yeah.
Terry, I'll tell you what I respect about Senator Cotton. I respect people that are able to criticize their own party.
Of course you have to. We criticize our own church, don't we?
Our own church, yeah. People that cover up, I have no respect for. Look what Senator Cotton said here.
Yeah.
He said, "The First Step Act that was signed by President Trump argues it was a misguided push by Republicans to win applause from liberals and strengthen the hand of radicals like George Soros.
Yeah.
That law must be now acknowledged as such to focus on reducing crime." He says the Republican Party must then join with independents and common sense Democrats to wage an unrelenting war on crime. Senator Cotton wrote, "This war must begin with a campaign to recall, remove, and replace every last Soros prosecutor." Terry, he said, "Throw the bums out," and that's exactly what we have to do.
Jesse, let me ask you a question. Because of your background in the police department, what does this do to the guy, the cop on the beat, where he knows that if he's going to arrest somebody, it's going to, go through a lot of paperwork, and you take him to the jail, and the fact that he's not going to be in jail the next day, what does that do to you as a cop on the beat?
It demoralizes the cops, and I can tell you, I got two young sons that work the night shift in what you call a fast city. Fast city means a lot of crime.
Yeah.
And both of them say that they can't hire Philly academies. There's national recruitment drives, and just the morale of cops.
Yeah.
They're afraid. They go out there. They're basically just trying to do as little as possible because they don't want to get accused of being racist or something. So Terry, it's like this: a football team, any baseball team. The big game, World Series, let's go out there, rah, 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 get out there. Yeah. Terry, how can a baseball team, a football team, a basketball team play at their best, perform at their best if morale is down? If nobody believes in them, no fans came out to see them, the coach is saying, "If you do something wrong, I'm going to fire you." The cops and firemen don't want to hit the streets, Terry. They're defeated on the inside. It's a miracle anybody wants to put on the uniform today.
So, Jesse, if there's two or three action items, if you wore the hat of a district attorney, what would you do like right away to help support the police on the beat and to protect the innocent citizen? What would you do?
Senator Cotton nailed it perfectly. He said that we have to get rid of this this law that was passed under the Trump administration. We have to get rid of all the Soros-funded district attorneys and get law and order district attorneys. Number two, I would also say that it's imperative that every Catholic have a firearm in their house. Yeah. You can't depend on the police. You got to depend on dad and who knows how to grab a gun and protect the household. And thirdly, I would just now go to the spiritual. Those would be the earthly type of solutions. Yep. When it goes to the spiritual, Scott Hahn said it years ago in a Bible study. It's called the Genesis study guide. Mm-hmm. He said that without prayer, man becomes a beast.
That's right.
That's simple. So what do we have out there? BLM, Occupy Wall Street, Black Lives Matter. These are beasts.
Yep.
These are people that have no relationship with God, no intellectual formation, no conversion of heart. And so what do? They follow the evil in their heart. Since they don't have a prayer life, Scott Hahn says a man, a woman that doesn't have a prayer life will start acting like a beast, because men and women, Adam and Eve, were created on the sixth day of creation along with the beast. So if we don't enter into that relationship with God, the seventh day covenant relationship, we will remain on the sixth day and act like beasts. And this is what we're seeing, Terry, around the country with a lot of these anarchist organizations. These are a generation of monsters who are malformed, uninformed, misinformed, and have no relationship with God and no prayer life.
Jesse, when we come back, we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, is power versus authority in the church. And we're going to talk about, unfortunately, today, some of the church leaders have power behind their commands, but not the authority of God. They know that they can command obedience from most Catholics, right? But they also exercise a power on their own sake, and not for the sake of their ideology instead of the common good. That's going to make it clear to us what we're up against in the church today. Stay with us. This is going to be an eye-opener topic for you. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
I have to tip my hat to Eric Salmon.
Good
it
man.
Takes a it takes a lot of courage to write the article that he wrote, Terry.
Yeah, I've been talking about it all week, Jesse. I've been telling people about this. Man, they got to read
power versus authority in the church. Two recent Vatican directives that parishes can't advertise or schedule traditional Latin masses was met with widespread mockery on social media. Because everybody knows who's worked in a parish, the idea of a curial bureaucrat in Rome trying to tell Mrs. Jones at St. Joseph's Parish in Des Moines what she can put in the bulletin is laughable and ridiculous and violates the principle of subsidiarity, by the way.
Absolutely. What is that subsidiarity? So it works on the local level. That's what we're looking for. Yep, go ahead.
Huge violator, the Roman Curia is at this point.
That's true.
Of the principle of subsidiarity. Some pastors can't even control what goes in the bulletin. But behind the mockery is a deep insight into the differences between power and authority.
Yeah.
Even though in today's world, these two distinct ideas are often muddled, this confusion has led to profound misunderstanding amongst Catholics as to the nature of authority in the church. Unfortunately, today, many church leaders have power behind their commands, but not authority.
Well stated.
They know that they can command obedience from most Catholics to their directives, and so they exercise power for their own sakes or for the sake of their ideology instead of for the common good. This is a raw abuse of power.
And Jesse, he used the word common good. I would even say canon law talks about everything a pastor does is for the salvation of souls. So not just the common good, but Everything he does, everything, every order he gives, it should be going through the lens of, is this going to be good for that person's soul to get to heaven? And obviously, this article talks about examples where bishops aren't doing it. For example, the bishops in Germany who want to normalize homosexual marriage. You see, Jesse, I still won't say gay marriage. Sorry.
Yeah, right.
It's homosexual marriage, so-called.
Exactly.
And now, here's another one that is, they have the authority to do it. I mean, excuse me, they have the power to do it, but not the authority. The U.S. bishops allowing pro-abortion politicians like Joe Biden receiving Holy Communion. You know, that shouldn't happen. Now, does it happen? Yeah, there's abuses of power. That's an abuse of power. The authority that the bishop is given is for the salvation of souls. What's happening with Joe Biden is a bishop like the cardinal in Washington is saying, I'm going to give him Holy Communion, even if it means condemnation on him and almost also on myself, I might add, because I'm participating in that sin by allowing it. Continue, Jess.
Terry, the problem is most of these bishops bought into universal salvation.
Of course, who's nobody just
nobody goes to hell. Everybody goes to heaven.
So it doesn't matter what I do.
Yeah, so trust me, they look at their actions. They're saying, "What's everybody getting all worked up about? We're all going to heaven."
God's mercy.
Yeah. Cardinal Kupich might have the power to abolish ad orientem worship,
which means the priest not facing the people. I just want to make sure that term, that Latin term, might not get you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But he does not have the authority.
That's right.
Pope Francis might have the power to abrogate the Latin Mass.
Nope.
But he does not have the authority.
Exactly. Canon lawyers all have said that over and over again, Jesse, and that's where I stand on that also.
Yes. We must also keep in mind this distinction between power and authority. Former Cardinal Theodore McCarrick for decades had the support of high-ranking church officials, even though many of his monstrous deeds, they knew about his monstrous deeds. Why? Because McCarrick had immense power in the church, even after he was retired, and had little to no authority.
Right.
If Cardinal Kupich bans, again, ad orientem worship, he might not have that authority under church or divine law, but he can make his life miserable to any priest who dares disobey him. That's power.
Yep.
Power comes from below. It's only possible if it has consent, whether forced or given freely, from the people under control. Joseph Stalin had power in the Soviet Union because no one below him dared resist him.
For a good reason.
Yeah. And a father or a bishop or even a Catholic monarch has authority in certain spheres given to him by God for the common good of his family, diocese or kingdom, respectively. Sure. Those under authority are obliged to follow the superior's commands, not because of their consent, but because the authority ultimately comes from the one who has true authority over all, which is God.
Well said.
But due to the fall,
that's right,
power can become virtually unlimited in this world through force or influence. What could Stalin not do during his reign? A person with power also usually wants to acquire more power. As Lord Acton once noted, quote, power corrupts absolute, power corrupts absolutely.
Every time.
Being able to tell people what to do can be intoxicating. You don't believe me? Just watch Joe Biden. Authority, on the other hand, is always limited in scope. Only God has unlimited authority, and he only delegates the aspects of his authority to individuals as needed to bring people closer to him. And it's important to note that this limitation applies to everyone with earthly, including ecclesial authority.
That's right.
For only God himself has full authority over man. As St. Thomas Aquinas notes in the Summa, quote, man is subject to God simply as regards all things, both internal and external. Whether he is bound to obey him in all things, on the other hand, inferiors are not subject to their superiors in all things, but only in certain things and in a particular way.
In well fact,
Vatican I recognized these limitations in the office of the papacy as well. Vatican I says this, for the Holy Spirit was promised to the successors of Peter, not so that they might, by his revelation, make known some new doctrine.
That's interesting.
But that by his assistance, they might religiously guard and faithfully expound the revelation or deposit of faith transmitted by the apostle.
And Jesse, that's why we constantly say the Holy Father is the custodian of the teachings of Christ. He's the vicar of Christ. He's not the superior of Christ. So this article says legitimate papal authority, in other words, is exercised when the Pope religiously guards and faithfully expounds the revelation or deposit of faith transmitted by the apostles. This is the Pope's job description, Jess. But it's an illegitimate. It is a illegitimate exercise of power when he tries to make known some new doctrine. Okay, so even if a pope had limited authority in the church, although in modern practices he has almost unlimited power, and if a pope has only limited authority, then assuredly to do bishops and priests as well. Now, Jess, let's talk about the problem arises when leaders mistake their God-given authority for power, because that's happening right now.
They abuse their authority because they have the power to get away with it.
Exactly.
So the abusive father is able to command his children far beyond his authority,
right?
Because his children are unable to resist him. He has power over them.
Mm-hmm.
A bishop likewise decides he can do whatever he wants, reassigns priests he doesn't like, uses diocesan funds for private jet trips because he has the power to do so. Right. Terry, right now, many of our bishops and the Holy Father, they're acting like an abusive fathers right now.
I agree.
Why? Because they're mistreating our Holy Mother, the church.
We use the term Bride of clericalism, Christ. Jesse, where the clerics are abusing their power. You know, our Lord strongly condemns this abuse of authority through the legitimate exercise of raw power. You know that the princes of this Gentile lord over it, them, and that they are the greater exercise power upon them. It shall not be among you, but whosoever will be the greater among you, let him be your minister. And he that will be first among you shall be your servant. This is right from Matthew chapter 20, 25 to 27. So, Jesse, talk about true authority. Where is it coming from, brother?
Yeah, so God talks about those people that are in power,
mm-hmm.
that are lording over
people. We get that.
Using raw power beyond their mandate. True authority comes from God.
Amen.
It's always put in the service of those under the ruler.
That's right.
St. Gregory the Great, back in the 5th century,
understood
this. He said the following. This is scary what he says.
Oh, yeah.
Whoever calls himself universal bishop, that would be the Pope, by the way,
mm-hmm.
or desires this title, is by his pride the precursor to the Antichrist, and instead called his role as Pope the servant of the servants of God.
Wow.
So Pope Gregory the Great is saying we have to watch out for the popes that don't call themselves the servant of the servants of God. Instead, they call themselves the universal bishop, do it my way. Why? Because I said so.
Yeah.
It's also the lack of distinction between power and authority that often confuses today's debates over obedience. Most faithful Catholics instinctively know that obedience is an important and necessary virtue. But when a church leader issues a questionable directive, the entire focus of discussion seems to be on those under his authority and their need to obey him. But there's little to no discussion of whether the church leader is exercising his authority or simply flexing his raw power.
Mm.
And in fact, quiet disobedience to false directives increases his power, leading to more false directives in the future. So how do we distinguish between commands from legitimate authority and commands pushed through from the exercise of power? The line between authority and power comes in the nature of the command given. The father who tells the six-year-old son to eat vegetables is exercising his legitimate authority as a provider of his family. But the father who tells his son he's actually a girl because he likes to dance, forcing his power over him. The first command is for the good of the son, but the second is harmful. And I would say, Terry, that I think Pope Francis and many of the bishops have moved into giving harmful commands, especially with their eradication of the Latin Mass.
When it comes to worship of God. Jesse, the key here is the Catholic Church is suffering a crisis of authority today, not because she does not have legitimate authority, but because too many of his leaders already are drunk with power.
Well said.
Exactly. Instead of using their God-given authority for the common good or salvation, they're enforcing their wills by raw power. Catholics need to accept the hierarchy's authority while reject its misuse of power. Only then will today's church clerical imbalance be restored to something more in line with our Lord's desire that our leaders be servants who inspire and lead us, not dictators who reveal in their own...
Who revel
in their own power. Well said. God bless him for making this, putting this article together.
He's
a good man. Eric Sammons from... Go to Crisis Magazine. Great magazine. Jesse, to finish up that whole thing is, you know, what state should we be living in then if all this is going on?
Bottom line is take care of your own house, your domestic church. Live in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Be holy or die trying.
Well said. Up next, Bishop Joseph Strickland. Talk about a straight shooter. Up next, he'll be giving his the Bishop Strickland Hour. You won't want to miss what this one bishop has to say, as he's giving his teaching, is coming from church to church, to government. God bless you.